on 2FM. With Green Firm, a nourishing addition to any sandwich, salad, stir fry, or snack. Natural protein your way.
Thanks to the superstar Jenny Green, she had me convinced it was a Friday in July when it's actually Thursday, the 25th of February, and this is Game On.
Coming up today, another spring, another Six Nations game postponed. But we do have Ireland team news. Stephen Ferris is standing by for us.
No, I never look at a team sheet and say how many is from any province whatsoever. You know, it just so happens that this is the right team for this game this weekend.
Christmas might be a lot of sleeps away, but Craig Breen is gearing up for the World Rally return in Lapland.
Obviously, I hadn't been in the car since October time, and I haven't done anything on gravel or snow or anything like that since the last stage of Estonia last year. So it's tricky, but look, these are the cars that are dealt to us, and we just have to try and make the most of it and try to be as quick as we can.
Plus, we've Kerry football captain Aisling Desmond ahead of her 12th season with the Kingdom, and Irish cricket legend Kevin O'Brien wants your questions.
This is the fastest 100 in World Cup history. Sixth fastest overall. Take a bow, Kevin O'Brien. 100 of 50 balls.
What an amazing innings. Unbelievable.
Game on 2FM.
You can text us on 51552 or tweet at Game On 2FM and we would love to hear from you. Marie, there is so much going on in rugby at the moment. We can nearly keep up.
Lucky we have an expert standing by.
Can we just get to him?
I think so.
We're delighted to be joined by Stephen Ferris. Stephen, how are you?
Not too bad. I'm really good to hear from you.
And you?
Stephen, I don't know where to start. Probably, look, we'll get to it all, but team announcement. The Irish team today, I just love your take on it. There were seven changes, two potential new caps on the bench. We know that milestones are important from being there. Robbie Henshaw will win his 50th. And the good news probably to see someone like Johnny back in and James Ryan back in the fold.
Yeah, it's superb, isn't it? It certainly feels like the squad has been freshened up. Seven changes, as you said there. I think Dave Kilcoyne is finally back 100% fit. I know he came back from an ankle injury, but then I think it was a bit of a calf strain. So he's ready and raring to go. Kelleher, I think he's a long-term future at hooker. I think he's a slightly better athlete than Rob Herring, who's on the bench. He's a bit younger as well, so he's getting his chance. Furlong, he's starting his first game for a long time in green, and it's brilliant to see James Ryan and Henderson. I think, you know, that front five, especially in the pack, is really, really solid, and hopefully they can give us the platform for this Leinster back line to unleash a few plays and hopefully score a few tries, because it has been a bit of a drought over the last couple of weeks. You know, only two tries scored, not that many offloads, not the free-flowing game that we're all expecting. But just for anybody that's listening in, it's supposed to be 18, 19 degrees in Rome on Saturday, 2:15 kick-off. So hopefully lots of free-flowing rugby and a high-scoring match.
I would come out of retirement to get to 18 degrees anywhere, I'll be honest with you.
Just so you can top up the tan.
Absolutely. Fez, I like the way we're going about it. Let's just do it in front five, middle five, back five, if you don't mind. And you mentioned Ronan Kelleher there. There has been a massive shadow left by Rory Best that I personally don't feel has been filled yet. We've seen potential there, Ronan. Is it time now for him to make that shirt his own?
Yeah, I think so. Unfortunately for Ronan, like, you know, the lineout probably didn't function for the couple of opportunities that he got. But he's a brilliant athlete, as I referenced there earlier. He is phenomenal off the mark. He showed just the bounce of the ball against France that he can finish from 4 or 5 yards. He's quite physical. I think the first couple of games he played for Leinster, he was scoring tries for fun. I know a lot of those were from a couple of yards out at the back of Mulls. But I definitely think that this guy is the future for Ireland, and he is that guy to fill Rory Best's boots. You know, Rory was a tremendous leader, and I think we need a few more lads in that pack to step up and really grab the thing by the throat and take it on. And, you know, is Ronan Kelleher the man? Well, he's getting his opportunity this weekend. I think under Pauly, he'll bring out the best in him also and fill him full of confidence, because he's a fantastic player around the pitch, and if he can get that set piece right, it's only going to lead to good things for Ireland.
Is it an opportunity, do you think, Stephen, or is it just a case of getting a few minutes into him to see how it gets on, or is it a chance for him to take that jersey?
Yeah, I don't think there's much between Herring and Kelleher in Andy Farrell's minds, to be honest with you. And if Keller has a stormer of a game, you know, really puts his hand up, then I think he might be changing Andy Farrell and the rest of the coaching staff's mind of who the first choice hooker is. There's maybe only six or seven lads in the Irish team that you would nail down as starters, and then the rest of the positions you're going to, you know, it's Will Connors this week, it could be Josh van der Fleer next week, you know, Tadhg Byrne, is CJ Stander the best at number eight, or is he best at six? You know, the wings can be debated, but, you know, there's that four or five positions that are nailed down, and this is Ronan Kelleher's opportunity to say, Andy, I'm your man, I'm the one that's going to drive us forward, you can rely on me when it comes to set piece, and I will deliver. And, you know, he's done it for Leinster for quite a bit, and Leinster, as Donica knows, you know, they change their hookers an awful lot from week to week, and it's hard to get a bit of consistency and get a run. So hopefully Keller gets a run. And, you know, I don't think Herring's done much wrong, but I just feel that Keller deserves an opportunity now.
Stephen, we've both played against Italy. It is the most physical Six Nations game you can possibly play. Would you think that's reason for putting Tadhg Byrne at six? You mentioned the back row there himself, Will O'Connors and CJ Sander, and then Gibson Park and Johnny complete that kind of middle five. But I'm interested in your take on Tadhg at six.
Yeah, well, he's brilliant over the ball, isn't he? He's also a very good line-out option. I think without Peter O'Mahony there in the line-out, he sort of gives that little bit more confidence as well, that you can go to short and line-outs and you're going to have a ball winner there. I wouldn't say he's the best ball carrier, but he doesn't make any mistakes when he has the ball in hand. And I think Will Connors is a really good link man. He's not scared to offload the ball. He takes, you know, a lot of personal responsibility of throwing those 50-50 offloads, and, you know, a lot of the time they come off. So I think the balance in the back row is pretty good. We all know what CJ Stander does. I would just like him to use a bit more footwork before contact and try and find holes instead of running, you know, head-on straight into people, which he's pretty good at as well. But I just think a little more deception. And it's brilliant to see James Ryan back there as well, who obviously has lots of experience. And I really, really like the look of this team. I think it needed freshened up. And I think everybody that's watched Ireland over the first couple of weeks is kind of going, oh, geez, fair play, Andy Farrell. You know, this is what we want to see. And, you know, if this team goes really, really well, he might select a very similar team for the following game.
But, Stephen, you know better than anyone, the balance in the back row is so important. And, you know, that back row, do you see Connors as a seven, Byrne as a six, CJ as an eight? It seems like they're playing in different positions. How do you gel that dynamic?
Yeah, well, I think I would like to see the back row playing in the wider channels a bit more. I would like to see them get their hands on the ball in the wider channels and be options and be link men as well. You know, winding back the clock, Jamie Heaslip was very, very good at that. He was on the end of a lot of tries off wingers, actually, you know, offloading to him back inside. So we haven't really seen that from the back rows that have been selected for Ireland over the last year. And maybe Will Connors is somebody that can get himself out there. And Tadhg Byrne maybe has a bit more of a license to roam now that he is wearing the six jersey. To offer himself as an option in attack. But I also feel that in defence, Donica, that, you know, these are big lads. These Italian guys, as you know, in Rome are very, very physical. And when they're coming down your channel, you've got to make sure and make an impact, to make big hits and game-changing hits. That there's no crowd there to get you up, to build the emotion, to build the atmosphere. And I think there's going to be a lot of responsibility in this back row to make sure and go out there and set a standard that the rest of the lads can follow, both in attack and defence.
Well, Andy Farrell was asked about Tadhg Byrne at six today. Let's hear what he had to say.
Well, he's been playing really well. You know, whether it be in the second row or at six, he's been playing well and deserves his chance again in the starting side. He adds on both sides of the ball, but set piece wise, along with James Ryan and Ian Henderson, the three of them have been pretty strong in the lineout as well.
Donica, where would you put him?
Tadhg Byrne. I think I like this selection for Italy because it's a physical game. It really you it, the thing for me I don't feel I've, and I always have when you play against Italy you never get any credit. So Ireland will run in 30 points this weekend, and everyone will go, we should be beating Italy by 30 points, and you get up on Tuesday morning and you still can't budge. You know,
when you said it's one of the most physical games in the Six Nations, I was there wondering, really?
Yeah, and Stephen, you know it. They don't put footwork on before contact. They just light you up, run down your barrel, and you know what I mean? They're not too bothered by it. So I like the look of our... Going forward, I wouldn't see this as a back row. I like a back row with a bit of balance. And Stephen, you've been in them, the likes of Sean O'Brien, yourself and Jamie. They kind of complement each other and they have skills that acquire to everyone else. But if you're looking at line-out options, and certainly for me, if you're looking at scrummaging options, having someone like Tadhg Byrne on the edge there, he won't be barely having his shoulder on like Fez used to do back in the day. This will have nearly put his top through the wall.
It's funny that you mentioned the actual balance there. And I was working at the weekend and Gavin Coombs was unbelievable again for Munster. You know, very close to a man of the match performance. Conan's on the bench this weekend for Ireland. He had a man of the match performance. You put in Caelan Doris there as well, who we all know is probably the future number 8 for Ireland going forward. So you add in those three guys, and there's maybe one or two more also that could put their hand up. There is strength and depth there. But for me, there's not one position that is nailed down. Maybe CJ Standard number 8, but there's question marks. Is he a better 8 or is he a better 6? So, you know, I think, Donegal, when you referenced you know, Sean O'Fallon, myself and Jamie, it was almost like, you know, a couple of those positions were nailed down every single week, and there's plenty of opportunity for Byrne at 6. And if he has an absolute blinder and he shows his worth in the 6 jersey, then, you know, you've got to keep him there.
Stephen, we're always talking about the strength and depth in the back row and then looking at other areas where it's lacking. What are you crediting it to?
Crediting all the options in the back row.
Yeah, where are they all coming from? Were they inspired by back rowers of the past, maybe?
Yeah, that's what I'm putting it down to.
I was there, Marie, don't ask him that because they're going to... Like Dennis Leamy used to say, you always put your best players in the back row. That's what you do. So Fez is just going to agree.
It's funny that you mention that because... Like at school, you know, second, third, fourth year in school, usually a lot of the best players were your number 8 because they, you know, could pick the ball up from the scrum. A lot of lads started off in the front row, and then maybe their athletic ability says that they're a little bit better, and of course they move back up and maybe get into the back row. So yeah, I think probably in school, a lot of coaches are putting the best athletes into the back row, and you know, as you can see on both team sheets, all the best athletes, all the bigger, stronger,
right,
better,
Chris.
Faster, more physical guys, Doniger in the back row, isn't that right?
That's absolutely the case. Okay, we've covered all the guys that will win the game, but now we're going to go to the ones that will get all the credit. The back five, Hugo Keenan, Jordan Larmers gets a run on the wing, James Lowe is on the other wing. That's a brilliant back three. Gary Ringrose and Robbie Henshaw, like we mentioned, win his 50th camp. Just Larmer coming back in, we know better than anyone, Fez, they're going to target him. They would have probably seen the kicking game that he didn't answer, maybe a provincial level. He's going to have to answer that.
Yeah, he is going to have to answer it. But any time there's been question marks over him, I think, you know, the following week he's answered those questions. I think it was Argentina at home before the World Cup in November, Autumn Internationals, whenever that was, 2018. And he had an absolute howler. And then he was selected for a couple of games at full back, I think, and played extremely, extremely well. He's on the wing. He's in the place of Keith Earls. You know, Keith Earls hasn't done much wrong, but he hasn't done much right either. I think he's just lacking a little bit of confidence, maybe. He hasn't got that much ball. Ireland haven't played a wide pattern too often, so he struggled to get into the games. But again, Larmer deserves his chance. You know, reading through social media and Twitter, not every Irish fan is happy that we're seeing a full Leinster back line being wheeled out, but as Andy Farrell said there, you know, that's the one that's been selected. It's nothing to do with what province that you play for. He feels that that's the best combinations to go out there and get the job done against Italy. I think it's very exciting. I think Gibson Park, if he can get quick ball, then you know, hopefully Donny can pull a few strings and get this back line moving, because there's been pressure coming on, as you're both aware, on Mike Catt, Andy Farrell, Nusa Fora. You know, when Ireland go 0-2 in the Six Nations, the media hype starts to build and the media pressure builds. And rightly so, of course it is, because Ireland were number one in the world not so long ago. And now they find themselves struggling to win a match. And if Italy give us a big fright, then there's going to be more question marks asked. But I believe that this team that Andy Farrell has selected is good enough to get a victory in Rome, and hopefully the lads can do it and start to build on something.
Stephen, you touched on that, because much is being made about it being a Leinster back line, but it is important to realise when it comes to going out in Ireland, the best players go out. I would have always felt that.
Yeah, like, whoever's selected, it doesn't matter if you're the 35th man in the squad, Donica, or you're starting in the starting team, your name's been called out in the starting team sheet. You got to get behind each other, you got to support one another, and that's always been a huge positive that's come out of the Ireland camp. You know, in 2011, Donica, when we were there at the Rugby World Cup, it was probably the lads who weren't taking the field week in, week out, that were the driving force behind us playing so well to get into a quarter final. We both know that we'll put the quarter final to the back of our minds, but yeah, in saying that, the other lads have got to drive them in training, have got to drive the standards, really high standards, make sure that it's not the training sessions are not easy, and they're pushing one another day in and day out, and hopefully they can drive on to get a victory. Just a quick mention, Donegal, on Ryan Baird, who's on the bench, and obviously Casey as well, who was exceptional for Munster in Edinburgh on Saturday night, another really good game. So yeah, hopefully those two lads win their first caps. I'm a massive fan of Baird, and hopefully he can step up to this level of rugby.
It was interesting today hearing Andy Farrell asked about Craig Casey and just him outlining that he was quite upset not to play, which is fair enough. And we have the clip here. Let's hear it.
Well, obviously there's some guys that are coming back in, some guys that's played a few more games now under the belt that are playing a bit of form, and some guys that deserve a chance as well. So all in all, we feel that this is the best side for this weekend against Italy.
Can you talk us through Craig Casey's development and how likely it is that we're going to see him making his debut this weekend?
Oh, he's been great. I mean, he's like a sponge, you know. He's at the front of the class, you know, with his notepad the whole time, taking absolutely everything in. And his attitude, like I've been saying over the last couple of weeks, is infectious. But I was very impressed with his mature attitude, in the sense that he would have been upset, and rightly so, for not getting any minutes in what he thought was going to be his debut against France. But then he goes back to Munster and dusts himself down and plays really well in poor conditions in Edinburgh. So we're really looking forward to him. Well, obviously, you can't promise anything in this world, can you? You know, he's certainly an international sport, but if he gets his chance, he'll certainly be ready.
Stephen, just from a player's point of view there, you mentioned Jack Conan. He was outstanding last week for Leinster. Ryan Beard, Craig Casey, these are players that have left the setup but are now getting rewarded for their performance. As a player, for a coach like that, you'd go the extra mile, wouldn't you?
Yeah, definitely. You know, the lads that you mentioned there were absolutely fantastic. And they deserve their shot. And, you know, Craig Casey at the weekend was just a crackerjacker, live wire. Like, he was just all over the place, you know, causing havoc, getting into the big lads' faces, setting the tone for the match. He was acting as a referee at one stage and got a few decisions to go his way. He has all the tricks, and he was exceptionally good. Although I would say that, you know, 24 hours earlier, John Cooney played unbelievably well for Ulster. So it's brilliant that Andy Farrell has those options. It's from half. Gibson Park gets a run out this weekend. Conor Murray, as we know, is struggling a little bit. But yeah, it's brilliant to have those options. Ram Baird, what an athlete he is. I remember I was down working at a Leinster game, and I was chatting to one of the S&C coaches that was there, and he used to be up at Ulster doing a bit of work experience, and he had moved down and got himself a job in the sub-academy. And I says, "Oh, any of these young Leinster lads, you know, worth looking out for?" He says, "There's a guy called Ram Baird coming through." He said, "Stevie, he is an unbelievable athlete. He's a really good rugby brain as well. He's going to go go places, he's going to go so far. And lo and behold, 18 months later, here he is. His name is on number 19 on the bench, and hopefully he gets a run out. And it's super exciting, not only for him, but all his family and the other lads. Craig Casey, he's also going to hopefully win a first cap. It's super exciting. You've been there, Donica. It's the pinnacle of representing your country, and hopefully these boys get an opportunity to do that.
Hopefully they will. Okay, so we're expecting an Ireland win, but my cat said that it's all going to click very soon. Will it click at the weekend, Stephen?
Well, I hope he's right. I hope he's right. That's the worrying thing, that it hasn't clicked. We've seen signs during the All Nations Cup, especially in that Wales game, that but it hasn't clicked, has it? And that's the reality of it. And it has to click against Italy, who... You know, I know the last time we went away from home to play Italy, we only won by 10 points. But if you look at all the rest of the matches and the record from the past, we should win this game by 20 to 30 points. And I think if Ireland don't win the game between 20 and 30 points, that the media pressure, the media hype is all going to come back on to the coaching staff once again. The last thing we want is a fright from Italy. But I tell you what, they've got a couple of cracking players in Garbisi, and Ioane on the wing that can cause a bit of trouble. So, you know, Ireland have got to have their wits about them. And hopefully Mike Catt's plan, formula, comes together this weekend and we see some running rugby. And as I mentioned there, the weather's supposed to be good.
Absolutely. Stephen, as always, thanks so much for joining us on Game On. We're going to take a quick break and we're back chatting cricket.
Game on 2FM with Green Firm. Green Firm's new on-the-go chicken bites are natural, high in protein, and packed with flavour.
Game on 2FM.
Welcome back, Donica. I think we learned yesterday that we shouldn't look too far ahead into the sporting calendar or we will be disappointed. We were very much looking forward to a France-Scotland match of the weekend, but that has now been postponed and potentially might not even be played until July. It is unlikely to be played next weekend, but we'll probably find out soon enough. But don't worry, I have something that you might be able to look forward to. Kevin O'Brien is offering us some light in lockdown, cricket Thankfully. Legend, and he joins us now on the line. Kevin, what do you have coming up?
Good evening, guys. So just on Tuesday, there's a Q&A, there's a free Zoom Q&A with myself for 2 hours, and it's basically a no holds barred. The public will come on and, you know, can ask any question they want within reason, I suppose, and I'll try and answer it. So it's just a bit of bit of fun, something to look forward to in pretty difficult times for people around Ireland and further overseas.
Definitely, and I think Zooms sometimes can be, you can get a bit of fatigue, but this is something a little bit different. People actually have access to their sports star, their hero, which is brilliant.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a website set up, eventbrite.ie / Kevin O'Brien Cricket Academy Zoom, and that's where people can register. You know, all they'll have to do is just give their email address and, click register and away they go. They'll get an email the day before, with the Zoom login details, and then come 7 o'clock on Tuesday, we'll be ready to go.
Kevin, we'll tweet out all that link so people know how to get on and have the chat. Are you a bit nervous about it though? Normally when you're on the pitch you can control stuff like this. Ask you anything, you're going to be like Tommy Tiernan.
I know, I'm a little bit apprehensive when my friend who's emceeing it for me, Andrew Leonard, he suggested a ask anything kind of no holds barred. I was a little bit apprehensive about it, but listen, I'm sure I'll try and answer everything I can within reason. I'm sure Lenny won't send me up the river too much with the questions, but it'll be a bit of fun, you know, something to look forward to. And obviously it's the anniversary of the England game 10 years ago, so it's kind of linking a bit of everything into it, and also relaunching my academy this summer.
It was really strange today watching the India-England game and being in the situation that we are here today, and just it felt like watching actual real sport again. It must be difficult, Kevin, is it, just to sitting down and seeing that happening and being in the situation we're in here in Ireland?
Yeah, I've been quite fortunate, you know, being away in January playing over in Abu Dhabi and you know, the latter half of the summer being able to play the interprovincial series and also the three games against England. So I think us as cricketers have been quite fortunate as opposed to some other sports around the world. So, yeah, listen, it's obviously difficult times, but any time you can get out and play, you know, it just makes everything that much more easy. So, yeah, we've been fortunate enough, but, yeah, other sports haven't been.
Johnny Casey wants to know, what did you make of that match today?
I didn't really see much of it, to be honest, but a few of us are watching it live in the gym in between, you know, doing our sets and stuff, and you know, it was just amazing the way it happened so quickly. And I'm not sure the wicket played that much of an effect on you know, obviously the England players, the batsmen especially, were playing for the ball to turn, and you know, certainly yesterday in the first day, to me it didn't seem like it spun that much. You know, but winning the toss and batting and getting bowled out for, you know, under 130 or whatever it was, you're always in a difficult position. So it sets up kind of nicely for the last test next week in the same ground. So hopefully, I suppose, for the England supporters, we'll be hoping that they can bounce back.
Kevin, you mentioned your training. Is this getting ready for Interpros?
Yeah, so the season is due to kick off in May. So we were actually supposed to go to Zimbabwe in April and tour there. We were supposed to play 50 over games and 20 games against them, but that's been cancelled due to kind of a few reasons, COVID and scheduling and more probably finances, I'm sure. But yeah, so May is when our season kicks off here. So yeah, we've got a lot of pre-season training to get through, and I suppose me being 36, entering my, you know, 15th or 16th pre-season, it can get a little bit boring.
So how are you faring in the gym now as a 36-year-old?
Not too bad. I've got the young guys to try and, you know, to try and catch up on. You know, they've obviously got me in some of the aspects, speed and that, the 20-meter sprint and potentially the yo-yo. But I'd back myself over a single strength session over most of the younger guys. So, it's a good bit of fun in the gym, you know, just trying to, you know, keep things fresh, and you're trying to compete with the younger lads.
You're better than me. I was swapping speed session for yoga, any chance I could get. Kevin, you mentioned your century against England. It's hard to believe that's over 10 years ago, but just, you must look back at that with such unbelievable memories. I know there's been brilliant days after it, but, you know, that was a moment where the whole country was gripped.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's 10 years. You know, it's just absolutely flown by. And obviously, you said we've had some great days as a team since then, and you know, myself personally have had some very good days as well. So, but yeah, you know, looking back on a World Cup, you know, a victory against the old enemy, and to put in a personal performance like that, it's always satisfying to look back on. And you know, I think this will be one of the last times I talk about it. You know, I can't even remember what happened last year, let alone what happened 10 years ago. So I'm just waiting, 36, and
the memory's gone already.
But I'm just waiting for people to ask me 20 years ago, like in 2031, you know, 20 years ago to the day, is like, I won't know what to talk about then.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask you to look into the future. We're always kind of talking over the last few months just about the consequences of this pandemic and you know, just worrying about how sport and professional sport and amateur sport and all sport is really going to be affected, because I think we probably won't know really for a little while. How do you think that cricket is going to fare, just in general, for you and the Irish team?
I think it's, you know, it's a kind of do or die. Well, not a do or die, but it's a tricky situation, as you said. You know, I think at the kind of national level, you know, we'll be okay. You know, we've got a busy summer coming up. You know, we've got a World Cup in October and three World Cups in the next 3 years. So just as a national team and as an A team, you know, group of players who are over in Bangladesh at the moment, you know, they've got something to look forward to try and aspire to get into those World Cups. My biggest fear is at the grassroots level. You know, certainly children who haven't played potentially cricket for, you know, going on 12 months now, you know, and you're a kind of social cricketer who plays once a week, you know, even down the grades and divisions, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8. You know, if they might not have played much cricket last year, you know, and, you know, potentially this year they might not start on time. So in that year or so, you know, people, you know, they fall in love with different things. And I think you can see a lot of people have really got into cycling, for example, or, you know, got into running. You know, and obviously cricket takes a large part of your day. And, you know, if you're playing socially, you might love it, you know, but not playing for 12 or 16 months, you know, you can fall out of love with the game. And, you know, I think for cricket to survive in this country, you know, I think we need a strong club scene, and we need players who might not be, you know, at their best and maybe in the latter half of their careers, you know, but they still need to play on the lower teams to help the younger guys through. And that's something that I kind of fear, you know, what might happen to cricket and other sports, I suppose, post-COVID.
Yeah, well, hopefully things will get back on track very, very quickly. We will tweet out all of those details, Kevin. Best of luck with it. And hopefully none of the questions will be too tough. We're going to take a quick break.
Game on 2FM with Green Farm. Fuel your day the healthy way with Green Farm's on-the-go chicken bites. 100% natural and packed with protein. Game on. GAA.
Now let's turn our attention to Gaelic games as we watch and wait for clarity on when the new season will begin. I'm delighted to say we are joined by the Kerry ladies football captain, Aisling Desmond. Aisling, it's a tough time for the likes of myself and Donica as we try and figure out when we're going to have Gaelic games, but I imagine it's a little bit tougher for someone who plays it.
Yeah, it's tough enough now at the moment, but thankfully we've got a good system in place now with the Kerry senior ladies. So our strength and conditioning coach has got us all on our individual gym programs and running programs, and then we meet collectively one night a week just to do a HIIT class, just to be a part of the team, and, you know, so everyone can kind of chat to each other. And it is hard though, you know, to stay motivated when you don't know the exact date, but the management team and we are keeping a strict tab on us, so there's no fear that we'll be slacking.
I imagine. I think especially when you don't have that actual fixture in sight, as in you don't have something to focus on, you're not kind of, you know, you're nearly training knowing you're going to have a certain opponent coming up, you're almost preparing for a certain team or a moment or a match.
Yeah, so hopefully, like, we're doing it in blocks now at the moment, so hopefully it'll be in the next 6 weeks that we are back collectively. But I suppose the most important thing is just to kind of do our own individual training, and I suppose we need to make sure that everyone's safe as well at the same time, and that's most important.
Of course.
Aisling, just on it there, like, obviously you're relying on everyone being individually motivated at the moment because you're not together. But for you as a captain, how are you getting around to the girls maybe individually and making sure that not only you're building fitness, but you're building morale?
Yeah, that is a big one now this year. I found as captain, I suppose, like, the first thing was actually not meeting the new players that are on the panel, not introducing myself. So it was just over a phone call that I would have called them, which, like, was strange because normally there'd be like a natural just chit chat in the changing rooms. But do you know what? Like, I suppose it's like, we have a great team environment inside at the moment, and like, everyone is in it together, and there's real unity within the panel. So, like, you see the times that other girls are putting up, and you know, like, that there's fierce competition for places, and there's fierce hunger within the panel as well. So I suppose it's mainly to focus on your own times and things like that, but there's also great competition already within the panel.
Aisling, you're obviously one of the more experienced players in the panel now, being your 12th inter-county season coming up. Just, like, in terms of work and that, like, are you working from home? Are you juggling a lot?
I actually am working from home now with the last year. So I used to work in Kerry Group, and I've worked for JRI America now for the last 7 years. So thankfully, due to the IDA Ireland, companies like JRI America and other fund direct investment companies can actually relocate to regional places such as Kerry. And like, it allows me then to have an opportunity to excel in my career and also to play football at the highest level as well.
So it's kind of working out all right for you then?
Yeah, in fairness, JRI, like, I'm lucky to have such a supportive workplace. Like, they're very accommodating for matches and training and physio appointments. They're very good.
Donica knows all about them.
Yeah, absolutely. Aisling, obviously last year, you know, COVID related, you know, it brought your season to a halt. But how do you look back at last season? Is it kind of a bit of fuel for you to drive on for this year, or are you disappointed that you couldn't get it finished out?
Definitely disappointed that we couldn't get a finished bout. I suppose, like, we were set for a National League final, and then obviously COVID hit, and the final didn't take place, which was, like, it was very upsetting at the time because we had a good bit of momentum. But I suppose that'll give us the edge for this year. I suppose there's a new challenge now, and I suppose up to the players to raise the expectations and drive on.
And in terms of lessons learned as well, Aisling, just given your championship performance and how close you came, like, what do you need to do now to push it on and, you know, to start reaching the last four?
Yeah, I suppose when you're meeting Cork in Munster, it's very difficult to get out, but because they will be considered one of the top teams in the country in ladies football. But I think that it's important for us now to focus on ourselves this year. We can learn a lot from last year. I suppose we did come close to Cork, but it's up to us now to push it on for the coming season and just take the league, I suppose. Hopefully it'll go ahead and that'll give girls opportunity just to get their spot on the team. And I suppose once we get back training, then competition will be up for places. And there's new girls into the panel, so there'd be plenty of competition for spaces, and there's always massive hunger within the team as well.
Aisling, while it's brilliant to represent your county and, like, fantastic to be playing for Kerry, your career did coincide, though, a lot of it with a very dominant Cork team. What was that like for you?
They were relentless, for sure. But, yeah, in fairness, they were a phenomenal team. Like, I think they were one of the greats. Was it 10 All-Irelands they got there under Eamon Ryan? But, like, let alone they were great footballers, they were actually fabulous girls off the pitch as well. But, like, they were really, really good. They really set the standard for ladies football. And I think that in the last couple of years, there is, like, such a development within ladies football, and it's probably down to the Cork senior ladies that they set the standards. And every year now, it just seems to be increasing.
I think that's the nicest thing any Kerry person ever said about Cork, actually. Obviously, you've had a new setup and you've had a year at it now. And how's that bedding in? I know there was a big emphasis, you were saying, on playing to your natural instincts and playing more flowing football. Do you feel like you're on top of that now, or has COVID maybe brought you back a step?
No, I definitely think that, like, COVID nearly brought us to a, like, a stage where we actually got to practice, like, basic skills, because we had a couple of weeks off before we got back for championship training. So, like, at that time, just allowed you to focus on your basic skills. And then, obviously, we have Darren Declan in as our management team this year, and they've created a great team morale, and there's great unity within the panel, and there's just, like, a nice atmosphere and a good buzz. So I suppose, like, they, like, want us to play, like, put the shackles off and just express ourselves as footballers. So hopefully we do that for them this year.
We've seen over the last couple of months your fundraising drives, and they've been very inventive. And obviously it's difficult for people at the moment to try and fundraise in the middle of COVID, but you seem to be doing it quite well. Will you just tell us a little bit about your initiatives, Aisling?
Yeah, so I suppose fundraising is probably, like, a vital role in ladies football, because football is an amateur sport. So, like, there is an increasing amount required in order to have, like, the best facilities. And, like, I suppose they did show the level of inequality between the men and the women in the GPA survey that was released earlier this year. But I suppose by us funding, it allows the Kerry senior ladies to improve our facilities and have a more professional environment. Like, we now have, like, this raffle going on at the moment, so if anyone wants to contribute, that'd be excellent. It's all on our link in bios on our Instagram, and it's on Facebook and things like that as well. So I suppose the generosity of people has been phenomenal. I think we're up to close to 10,000 raised already, which is fantastic to see in these times.
But it's still hard when you think about it. Like, and you'll know from over the years how often you've had to do this, that you're going out to represent your county, and you're seeing as well that there's a men's team out there that have a way higher amount of funding, and how hard you have to work just to get that 10,000, just to get you through the year.
Yeah, I suppose there are, like increasingly high demands when you're playing senior county football, and, like, the WGPA survey did show the difference between even the government funding. I think the men got close to 3 million and we got 700,000. But, like, I suppose it's not really about the monetary reward for us. It's basically, like, compensation in order to perform at your best. And, like, even basic things like pitch lights and stuff like that is where our funding will be going.
Is it getting better, Aisling?
Yeah, it's definitely improving. I suppose even from when I started, there's definitely like more awareness around ladies football, and they're definitely like raising the profile. I suppose Lidl have done massive investment. They've invested like 3.5 million since 2016, and like TG Cahar showing the matches, like this gives us great exposure. And then I suppose the 2020 campaign was excellent for just like increasing the attendance, participation, and like media coverage. And this also like allowed, I found with that, it was like young girls could see like role models in like football and things like that, which was major. So like there has been improvements, but there is definitely like a long way to go yet.
I think it's pretty stark when you're saying that you're raising money, you're doing a lot of promotion, and it's to light up the pitch for training.
Yeah, but I suppose you can't really, like I say, and I suppose, like I said, it's not really about the monetary reward for us, to be honest. Like I say, play football because I love it, and like I want to win with my friends, and like I suppose I've dreamed about like playing in Croke Park and like winning All Ireland. Like that's the reason. Like you go back every year to just try to like win. Really, to be honest, with your friends more so than anything. You don't really focus on the financial side of it, how much you're losing or whatever.
And there are those special days. You had one this year with Ratmore, and I suppose a big family connection for you there, your dad involved in, and your sister.
Yeah, that was lovely. I suppose it was probably third time lucky now, to be honest. We were in the final for the last 3 years and we just couldn't get over the line, and thankfully this year we did. So my father took us over this year for the club, and it was just great, to be honest, like, as in, just love playing with the club. You know, it's such a family orientated club. The girls are like sisters to me, and it was just such a nice thing to happen within the community in such hard times.
Well, Aisling, I have to say that what you've been doing with fundraising has been absolutely fantastic. It's definitely, I think, caught a lot of people's imaginations, and it's making a big impact. So we wish you all the best with it and the season ahead. Thanks so much for joining us.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Game on. GAA. Game on 2FM with Green Firm. Snack smart with Green Firm's new high protein snacking range, available in selected Tesco, Super Value, and convenience stores nationwide.
Game on 2FM.
Welcome back. Now, some half-time scores in the early Europa League games. Arsenal and Benfica is 1-1, and Rangers and Antwerp is also 1-1. There are some later kickoffs as well, with Leicester and Slavia Prague at 8 o'clock, and Manchester United and Real Sociedad also at 8 o'clock. And there are obviously some other matches on as well, but I'm not going to run through them all because we are turning our attention to rally driving, and Waterford's Craig Breen and his Killarney co-driver Paul Nagel make their World Rally Championship return when they compete in Arctic Rally Finland, with the opening two stages of the second round of the series taking place on Friday evening. The Arctic Rally Finland replaces the cancelled Rally Sweden, with the WRC organisers determined to have an all-winter snow event as part of the 2021 season. And it's the first of six events that the Irish pairing will contest this season for Hyundai. Breen has been speaking to RTE Sports' John Kenny.
Obviously, I hadn't been in the car since October time, and I haven't done anything on gravel or snow or anything like that since the last stage of Estonia last year. So it's tricky, but look, these are the cars that are dealt to us, and we just have to try and make the most of it and try to be as quick as we can.
Now, Donica, I'm afraid I might have done a little bit of wiggle room there with the old Craig Breen interview, but I think I found it.
Party. Late slow through that minus short, 150. Left tightens the flat, one tightens just clip, slowing 80. One right, 60, slat late, five right cut around the hut.
Craig, should have been Rally Sweden, but it now been moved to the Arctic Rally. Obviously, you're sad to be missing Sweden, but happy to get up and running again, I'd say.
It's been a surface that's you know been favourable to me in the past. Obviously, we got a podium there in 2018 with Citroen, so definitely a surface that I like. Generally speaking, on fast rally, that's where I've got my three podiums so far. So definitely a surface that seems to suit us. So you know, all the ingredients are there. Hopefully to have a good weekend.
How's testing gone? What have you been doing in the last couple of weeks, then?
Yeah, we did a test, pre-event test like normal, just one day in the World Car. That was about 3 weeks ago now, actually up in Rovaniemi in Lapland, and that went really well, I have to say. Obviously, I hadn't been in the car since October time, and I haven't done anything on gravel or snow or anything like that since the last stage of Estonia last year. So to get back in and jump in the car and try and get it all done in one day is difficult, especially when you know the other guys are doing a lot more testing, doing events, and they did a practice rally also in Estonia last week. So it's tricky, but look, these are the cars that are dealt to us, and we just have to try and make the most of it and try to be as quick as we can.
Okay, in saying that, then, do you think you're a little bit behind the curve going to this round in Lapland and Finland?
I wouldn't say that. Look, this is how it is. It was no different, I suppose, in Estonia last year either, when we were thrown back into it. Okay, the only thing was last year everyone was stopped for a couple of months, whereas this time, everyone's since the season restarted in Estonia at the end of September last year, it's sort of been non-stop. Okay, a small break for Christmas and the New Year, but between Monza and Monte was a short time also. So, but look, I don't want to stack up a lot of excuses before I even start the event. I still feel confident. The test with the R5 car or the new Rally 2 car this week, the 2 days in Sweden. So I do feel up to speed now.
Yeah, there was a lot of complaints over the years when you were with Citroën about problems with the car, and it's well documented. But it seems to me that you like this Hyundai. Does it suit you?
Oh, definitely. I think it's a car that suits me. The work ethic of all the people there is something to be really proud of, and it's definitely where I want to be moving forward. So the car now, I have to say, is really, really nice to drive. I've really settled into the whole team. It's made quite big steps, especially in the lockdown period last year between Mexico and Estonia, those couple of months. So the car is a pleasure to drive, and it's continued to get better and better in these last months as well. So it's up to me to make the most of it now.
Six rounds this year, is that still the plan?
It's not really written in stone. My contract is quite flexible. Basically, I'll share the car with Danny Sordo. So yeah, the team will ultimately decide which events are more favourable to me, which ones are more favourable to Danny. So for the moment, all I know is Lapland, and then after that we'll see. But I will be hopeful for at least six events. Yeah.
There's a couple of things here at home. There's no Rally GB this year at the moment, anyway. And there was talk that we could have had a Rally Ireland in 2021. Now the possibility exists that obviously with the restrictions and things that here that's not going to happen. But we do have a possibility of 2022. I presume you'd welcome a round in Ireland, would you?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, it's clear that Bobby's been working extremely hard, Bobby Willis, over the last couple of years to try and make this a reality for us all. So, yeah, obviously came desperately close to getting the event to come across for this year, but unfortunately not to be. But from what I understand, he's working hard still on getting the event back for 2022. I think it goes without saying, that the rally would definitely be most welcome in the championship. I think it's a type of event that's, to be honest, not been seen, I guess, since we had Rally Ireland back in 07 and 09. So it's really particular, really special. I think, given the date that Bobby had as well for this year was August time, we could have, with a bit of luck, managed to get some better weather as well and really show off the true nature of the stages and the roads here. So it's a pity. But yeah, luckily, hopefully Bobby can get it together and we can have it back in the championship in 2022.
Speaking of championships, it's a championship you won for the first time 2 years ago, the Irish Tarmac Rally Championship. We've already lost three rounds. Killarney's under threat as well now in May. That is unlikely to go ahead at this stage, and they've cancelled the championship. And I know you've said it out loud that you find that it's a major disappointment to see once again the championship go this year. I presume you still feel that same way.
Yeah, look, I suppose I need to be very politically correct about what I say. I understand absolutely from a medical point of view. I understand all the reasons behind it, and I'm not enough of an expert to say what's feasible and what's not given the circumstances back home. But all I know is that the other national championships around Europe are still going on ahead. They've found a way to run within the tolerances of the COVID protocols. And from what I've seen, the majority of the events have been able to run very smoothly. Their impact in a COVID sense has been very, very small. Yeah, it's just a pity for everyone involved, you know, and not only the competitors, all the stakeholders involved, all the businesses, the preparation companies, the suppliers. You know, it's basically just you know, from a booming championship to, you know, absolutely nothing now for nigh on 12 months. So, like I said, I would never be in a position to say, you know, what's right or wrong. I would never go against the advice of what the health people are saying, you know, far more than I ever do. But all I do know is that you know, other places across Europe have managed to, like other sports within Ireland, have managed to find a way to still let it go and still run within all the protocols. So it's just a pity to see it like that, but I guess I understand the, you know, the situation.
What's it like? Do you have your own protocols and bubble in the World Championship? Can you describe what that's like?
Yeah, it's hard going, I have to say. From this year, the travelling side of things really ramped up insofar as the difficulty of getting around. The cost involved. I did a one-day test in Rovaniemi for the Arctic Valley a few weeks ago, and I had nearly €1,000 worth of PCR tests just for one day of work.
Wow.
Another one on Friday, and then another one on Sunday before I can get back home again. And they're all well over €150 a pop. So it's, apart from the expense side of things, it's difficult, and you have to be very careful about, you know, where you're going and how you manage things. So it's, you know, if this is what we have to do to get the sport, you know, to run, you know, I'm happy to do it, you know, by all means. It's just, yeah, it's a tough world to be in right now. Yeah.
How are you managing it all? I mean, you say, yeah, this is something we have to do to keep the sport going, but it must be tough at times to have to stick to these protocols time and time and time again.
Yeah, it is. But if you have two choices, then you either put up with it, or, you know, no one has a gun to my head to say that I have to do this. You know, I can go back home and sit at home and you know, wait. You know, this is ultimately my dream. You know, this is the only chance I have to try and make it happen. So whatever protocol there is, and I think that I speak for the vast majority of people that are involved in rallying, at least, or in the World Championship. You know, we'll do whatever needs to be done to keep ourselves safe, to keep those around us safe, and to keep the sport safe as well. So it's just par for the course at the moment. And, you know, hopefully, you know, 12 months time, we can be, you know, at the far side of this and, you know, back to some bit of normality. But for the moment, it's like this, and we just have to get on with it.
What's the rest of the week like for you before Friday's opening stage?
Friday morning is a shakedown, and then Friday evening we get underway with two stages on Friday evening. So it'll be it'll be all go once it's started. So just looking forward. Obviously, the anticipation is the hardest bit, and you're waiting.
Yeah.
So just looking forward to getting the whole thing underway now and getting going, and try and prepare as best we can.
Slight left and flat, one right, 70. Flat, one left, cut and flat, one right, minus short, cut, 150. Slight right over flat crest, 300. Slowing right over crest on the at the road and right, only 50.
Do you want to get that? Is all we have time for now?
We need to jump in that car and get to the newsroom. A massive thank you. The brilliant Blonda Tracy's up next.
Across the nation, this is RTE 2FM.